Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, it's my pleasure to welcome Amanda Dorbrand Hope. Amanda, meaning worthy of love, has gone on a life journey true to her name. Possessing a strong knowledge of the wisdom she carried inside to see and know higher truth, combined with an insatiable searching for that truth, she has been led to many interesting modalities, people, and places. Ultimately, however, her journey was not to outside things, but an inner journey to strengthen her love and belief in herself and her talents, leading her to share that wisdom with the world. She is passionate about helping people to learn and practice personal responsibility, personal growth, and higher spiritual truth in order to merge their spiritual and physical worlds together. Her belief is that when everyone on the planet sees themselves as both a spiritual and physical being, loves themselves, and can express their true gifts with passion and authenticity, we will all thrive. Amanda holds a doctorate in holistic life coaching, a master of divinity in metaphysics, and various certifications in other holistic modalities. Born in Wisconsin with a brief residence in Hawaii, she now lives in the rolling hills of Nashville, Tennessee, where she serves as a holistic life coach, author, speaker, and wedding officiant. You can find her on the World Wide Web as It's As You Like It, all one word, itsasyoulikeit.com. And please look for her book on Amazon. It's called Holding Space. And it has a subtitle, but I'm going to let Amanda Ann tell you what that is. Amanda, I'm sorry. I have a character in one of my books named Amanda Ann, so if I call you that, that's where it comes from, Amanda.
I was wondering that.
So
I got a new middle name I didn't know about.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you were saying, tell us.
Yeah, what is the subtitle of Holding Space?
Oh, the subtitle. So it's Holding Space, a guide to supporting others while remembering to take care of yourself first.
Okay, that sounds good. It all begins with oneself and the inside job that one has to do, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's hear a little bit about your journey. And caller, we see you on the line and welcome your being with us tonight, and certainly hope you'll enjoy the show and hang in there to talk with Amanda later on. But please feel free to share whatever you want about your own personal spiritual journey. I'm always very interested in hearing about the journeys of guests that I've had on the show.
I don't know if there was anything super specific. I know a lot of people have one kind of defining moment that opens them up. For me, it was kind of a bunch of different nudgings throughout different years, and then sort of one big, I have to figure out, you know, what is coming out of me and, you know, read everything I can and learn everything I can. When I was growing up, my parents did a very loose religion. They wanted us to have some sort of background, but, you know, once we were 12, they said, you know, they sent us to Catholic CCD classes, and then they said, you know, once you're 12, you get to decide what you want to do. Well, it wasn't for me or my sister and brother, so we all decided, okay, well, we're not going to do it after 12, but I guess I always thought that it was either religion or nothing, and so I never really had any sort of spirituality after that until it started, you know, almost flying out of me, and then I started to research and find that there was a whole world out there that I always probably knew about, but just didn't give myself access to in sort of spirituality, universal spirituality, that didn't necessarily have a specific religion. And so I was looking for a broad-based spiritual education is what I, you know, tell people when they're like, well, how did you end up with a degree in metaphysics? And metaphysics is sort of the bringing together of the spiritual world and the physical world. And it offered a broad-based spirituality and a broad-based list of things to study that didn't necessarily, you know, fall into any specific category. It was a very open-minded religion. It's still categorized as a religion, but I'm allowed to, you know, do many things under that, especially as a wedding officiant and things like that, that I'm not tied to any certain beliefs or rules or things like that. So I guess that's a somewhat short version of the beginning of it, I guess.
Well, how did you discover that it was an inside journey? Maybe that's a good place to start.
Oh, that one happened when, because I was a very A-type personality for a long time, too. I was sort of a go-getter and very driven. And so I was one of those people that had all the plates spinning in the air, like the, you know, you see the clowns with all the plates spinning. And at one point, I just was like, I can't hold them all up anymore. And so I surrendered. It's that surrender moment where you surrender and go, okay, you know what? I don't really have this figured out. So at that point, I don't think I could even use the word God because it had too much of a religious connotation to me. I do now, but I had to, you know, sort of go along the journey with that so the word could mean its own thing to me. But at that point, I think it was universe that I said, you know, okay, I'm not in control here. You know, your turn. I'm going to follow what you say and develop a relationship with you here and hope that you will guide me because I certainly am not in control here anyway. So I guess that's where that sort of opened up. And ever since then, it is very much a locked in partnership of everything, every decision I make, you know, everything I'm guided to, led to, it's all in partnership. And I have a lot of conversations with that spiritual team. So.
Very good. Well, tell me how you define spirit.
How I define it? That which is bigger than you. How's that? That which is universal, that everyone's a part of, that's bigger than you.
Well, I like it when people keep things simple. And that's a wonderful definition. I haven't heard anybody give me that one before, and I like it. Well, then that leads me to my next question is how do we merge our spiritual and physical worlds together or reconcile them for that matter?
Well, one of the ways that I do it, in fact, the major way that I do it is, like I said, to sort of check in with everything before I do things, before I, you know, make decisions, even as far as, you know, where I'm led. I wanted to, there was a point in my life where I, you know, sort of said, hey, you know, let me know what I'm supposed to be doing here and guide me on that path. And I want to, you know, serve in that way. And so I had to then be open to what I was being led to. And it doesn't necessarily always make sense in our physical lives. You know, what we get told to follow and things like that. The book was not something I planned to write. That's something that needed to be written and through me and sort of, you know, jumped out of me and just kept going. Sometimes I could hardly keep up with the, I like to write with, you know, pen and paper first and type later. So I could hardly keep up with the pen sometimes, but, you know, I've been led to all sorts of things that, some I thought I might do, some I never would have thought. And of course things unfold on the physical plane in all sorts of wonderful ways when you're led by spirit, because you know, we can't see everything that's going on or how all the pieces fit together and what's going to knock this out of the way to make that happen. You know, why you're in a certain situation, sometimes you're there for yourself, sometimes you're there because you need to be in somebody else's movie for that, you know, time. So I guess that's how I do it. I just allow myself to be guided, and then I put the feet on the ground in the physical world of whatever that is.
Well, what's so delicious about allowing spirit to direct our lives? Are you still there?
Yeah, I lost you for a minute there, but I'm still here.
Oh, did you hear my question?
No.
Oh,
went away
I asked...
for a minute.
Ah, okay. Well,
we're in Mercury retrograde.
Right, exactly. What's so delicious about allowing ourselves to be led by spirit in terms of transforming our physical and outer lives?
Well, that's a question. What is so delicious about it?
Yes.
Oh, well, everything. So many cool things happen when, you know, we don't try to control the show.
Yeah.
You know, I've a lot of times been told, you know, I'll be doing something somewhere, I'm out, and I'll get told, go talk to that person over there across the street. I'm like, really? Yes, go talk to them. Don't really? Yes, go do it. Okay, walk across the street. Hi. Hi, I'm supposed to talk to you. I'm not really sure why. And, you know, it ends up being some kind of connection, or they needed to hear something from me, or like I said, sometimes it's for us and sometimes we're there for somebody else because we're listening. So we get, you know, sort of, you know, because we're in that channel, we get used to, not like used, but we allow ourselves to be guided so we can be in somebody else's movie for a time there.
Right, right. You know, I was just looking back at the description, and I was focusing in on the word knowledge, and I'm wondering what you think is more powerful, faith or knowledge?
Wisdom.
Yeah, that's the ultimate, isn't it?
Wisdom is gained through both. The faith and knowledge, but faith has to be, I think, in order to really gain the wisdom, there has to be some level of, you know, I don't know, people sometimes get tripped up on that word faith, but some level of something bigger than you collaborating with that knowledge in order to merge it and get the wisdom.
Well, I've had some people tell me that it's the knowing that's more powerful than faith. Because faith sometimes is based on speculation that there is something that is beyond our understanding, whereas knowing is holding that that particular knowledge that it is true. Does that make any sense? You tell me.
I don't even know where to go with that. I'm going to go back to the wisdom. And no.
That's all right. You go where you want to go. You're the guest.
Like I said before, I don't personally think we're in control of all the finite parts of this universe and, you know, how everything interacts and however many other universes you believe or don't believe or dimensions. But I don't believe it's possible for any one of us in human bodies to be in control of all that. So, you know, knowledge we think we have, I think can always be, you know, there's something always that knows more than my whether we know
yeah.
it better than that, whether we have knowledge of it or not. And I'm not
right.
calling anybody wrong that doesn't believe that. I'm just saying that's my personal belief is that there's no way we can have control over all of that anyway. So,
what do we have control over?
Our own decisions, our own free will, our own responses to things.
Mm-hmm. Attitudes, actions.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your book. What do you mean by holding space?
Well, the book was created for two, there's actually more like three different reasons. One of them was to define the term, because it's something that's been tossed around in the holistic and therapeutic circles for a while now. But I don't know that it's ever really been clearly defined. So the first reason was to define it. The second reason was so people would honor themselves for doing it, because it takes a lot of energy. Our culture has, you know, for a long time been very much in the masculine energy of the doing and the logic and the plans and the knowledge and the structures, that we haven't done enough being, because we sort of put that away. And there has to be a good balance of both. So what happened is, you know, a lot of people judge themselves because they've been judged of, if you're not doing something actively, you know, you're not doing anything worthwhile, or, you know, you're not contributing. But that being energy and holding that space takes a lot of energy and can tire you out sometimes more than doing something physical. So that was the other reason, was to make sure people honored themselves for it. And then the third reason was to, you know, make sure people understood the difference between the different energies, and then, you know, were able to understand how to hold space properly without hurting themselves, without, you know, how to do the self-love, how not to take other people's opportunities to learn and grow. You know, if our culture too likes to jump in and save something, you know, someone has an issue, oh, how can I save you from it? How can I solve it immediately? And when you hold space for the issue, it gives that person a chance to, you know, grow from that opportunity. And my story on that I tell is that years ago, I went to a healer and life coach, and she looked at me and she said, "Do you know that every time that you jump in to save somebody from something, you are taking away an opportunity they have to grow, and then they'll just have to wait till the next one comes around?" And I said, "Well, do you mean I'm not helping, I'm actually hurting?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, that's not what I wanted to do." So that's something that, you know, we don't think about, because that's not how we were taught. So I was trying to
get
people to...
Oh, and that's what so many people do. They try to save the world. They try to save their loved ones, and they don't allow them the dignity of their own journey.
Mm-hmm. Because we think we're helping, but really, you know, when she pointed that out, she's like, "Well, you're actually taking away an opportunity the universe has given them to learn something and grow stronger. And they just have to wait then for the next time to come around, and then hope someone else doesn't jump in and save them from it, you know?"
Yeah. Right.
So I'm just like, well, that's not what I want to be doing, so I'll stop that.
How do we conserve energy when we hold space?
When you hold space, you're putting something on what I like to call the side burner. You don't want to put it on the back of the burner, because then you forget about it. You don't want to put it on the front burner, because then it's in your awareness constantly and it's taking up way too much energy. So if you're holding space for something, that means you don't have an answer for it yet. You know, something needs to run its course, you know, until you have the right answer, or it heals, or you know, whatever along those lines. So, like I said, I kind of use that side burner analogy, that, you know, it's there, it's in your awareness, but it's more like, you know, when someone tells you something, and another way to describe it is, oh, I'll file that. I don't need that knowledge right now, but I'm going to file that. And then something else might come up and you go, oh, yeah, I remember that person told me that. I need it now. So I think you can conserve that energy by putting it on that side burner.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. What are some of the different ways that we can hold space?
Well, in the book, I look at it through a couple different lenses. One of them is, you can hold space for yourself. You can hold space for another person. You can hold space for a situation. Those are all more personal ways of doing it. You can hold space, you know, in a relationship for something that's going on. And you can also hold space professionally. To give you the easy one, professionally, I do that as a life coach. And now I'm doing some different healing and hypnosis, and also as a wedding officiant. I'm holding space. The definition is to create a container of allowing. So whatever wants to organically be born out of that space being held can come out, so that we're not directing it or guiding it or forcing it. We're allowing.
That reminds me of...
Go ahead. I was just going to say, when I'm seeing clients, I'm holding the space for that to come out. I'm not telling them, you know, everything I think right away. I'm allowing that session to organically show, you know, to us what we need to see out of it, what that client needs out of it.
That reminds me what Esther Hicks talks about. She uses the expression, the art of allowing. Are
mm-hmm.
you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with her, not, you know, super familiar, but I'm familiar enough with her that I can guess what she means by that.
Yeah. Well, that's what came to mind when you were talking about that. To me, it's more about turning it over and just allowing things to happen instead of trying to force them to happen.
Right.
To me, it has to do with letting spirit dictate my actions instead of my ego thinking I know what's best to dictate my actions.
Right. Or when there's not an answer, when you don't have an answer about something, it's a great time to hold space for it too, because why force one? It's not going to be the best answer. So,
why are some other reasons for holding space so important?
Well, we already talked about, you know, not taking someone's opportunity away.
Right.
The one I just gave you about forcing a solution when, you know, you don't need to yet. Sometimes I think people have to stop and ask themselves, because sometimes we get in a tizzy about, oh, no, I have to have an answer for this. I don't know what to do, and I have to know right now. And maybe you don't have to know right now. Maybe you can ask yourself a few questions like, do I actually have to make a decision about this right this minute? You know, or am I just kind of imagining that for myself because this is so heavy, I don't want to carry it, and so I want to just hurry up and make a decision so I don't have to hold any space for it, because as I said, holding space takes energy, and you've got it on that side burner and you can't check it off your list. So, you know, that one of the chapters in there is learning to be uncomfortable and allowing that to be a state, you know, to be in, because we don't like to be uncomfortable either. We want to just, you know, that's why we jump in and save. We want to jump in and save, fix it, check it off the list, be done. And not sit in that uncomfortableness. But when we sit in the uncomfortableness, that's where we learn whatever we needed to learn from the situation, or, you know, find a deeper, better answer than, you know, if we would have just hurried up and put on the Band-Aid quick because, you know, we couldn't handle sitting in the uncomfortableness.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, though.
You talk about the importance of You talk about the importance of taking care of yourself first when you're attempting to hold space for others. Would you elaborate on that?
I think we talked about it a little bit. It's mostly about letting other people have their journey, but also not, you know, there, a lot of times too, and this is something that's been cyclical as far as, you know, generations, but thinking that you have to burn yourself out doing everything for everybody else, and then when it comes time for you need something because you used up all your energy, you look around resentful, like, well, how come no one's doing this for me? But that's not how we're really supposed to do it. That's how we're taught to do it, but that's not how we're supposed to do it. When I counsel couples for premarital counseling and things, I always tell them, you know, it's a situation where you're walking hand in hand, you know, you're next to each other. You're each doing your own personal work to the best of your ability that you can do it on your own and handling your own things. And then you, you know, lean on the partner for support here and there, but you're not on your partner's shoulders, you know, the whole time, and then waiting until it's your turn. And then the other person jumps on the other person's shoulders, because it just doesn't work like that. You're both responsible for as much of your own stuff as you can do. And then you, you know, get the support in the small amounts, not in, I do all these things for other people that they may or may not have even asked me to do, thinking that I got to run out and save the world, you know, and then you're depleted. And then you look around going, well, how come people aren't doing it for me? But it's just not the way it works.
Well, what can we do to get rid of resentments? Because they certainly are very human things to have happen.
Well, that's what it is that's, you know, what I tell people too. One of the things I tell the couples too is don't do anything that you don't promise anything, make promises you can't keep. So, you know, it's about being honest with yourself and the other person. And when you have a good spiritual practice and a good personal growth practice and you're, you know, spending time with yourself and getting to know yourself well, which is all part of the personal growth practice. And then you're trusting that other person with, you know, what you can and can't do. So instead of just going, oh, well, they want to do whatever, even though that's actually really going to hurt me, you know, in some way, well, I want to please them, so I'll go do it. You know, it's better. The easy way I say is if someone says, hey, do you want to go to this concert or something? And it's maybe for me, if I go to like really, really heavy metal, it doesn't work for me. It scrambles my energy. I can't do it.
So
if someone said, do you want to go? You know, I might really want to spend time with that person and say, yes, I want to go. But I know that if that person really loves that kind of music and they go with me, I'm going to bring them down because I'll be having a terrible time and they're going to know it. So it's not going to be fun for either of us. It would be better for them if they went with somebody else and we did something else another time. You know, so I would say, hey, I really want to hang out with you. I appreciate that, but I know how much you like it and it really bothers me. And so if I go with you, you're just going to have a bad time and I don't want to do that. Can we do something else, you know, a different time? And I think you're better off going by yourself or with somebody else. So then you don't have resentment of, oh, well, I did this for you because they didn't ask you to, you know, they took you at your word. And if at your word you say, I can do this, they're taking you at your word. So you know, your word has to be true. And you know what? I love you. I want to spend time with you, but I can't do this.
Well, what else would you like to say about your book? And then what I'd like to do after you talk about that is check in with the caller and then talk about some.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I want to see what the caller has on their mind.
Okay, well, let's do that then.
Okay.
We had one other that we lost, but this one's been with us right since the beginning. Area code 216. Hi, area code 216. What's your name?
Yes, my name is Patricia.
Hi, Patricia. How are you?
I'm fine. I'd like a reading. Are you going to give a reading?
Well, I don't know that Amanda does that. You're used to tuning into some of the shows where I have psychics on. Is that it, Patricia?
Yes, yes.
Well,
sorry about that.
Yeah. Is there anything going on in your life that Amanda might be able to help provide some insight into? She's not going to give you a forecast, but she might be able to provide some insight as to what's going on for you.
Well, yeah, it's just, just seems like I'm just going through so much, and I don't know if they call it dark night of the soul or a cleansing or what. You know, going for my health, housing, finances, and they're all important. I'm concerned about the finances and housing. Was doing a seasonal work, and they fired me unfairly, and I'm not upset about that. But I had to really get on them, you know, to get my money owed me. And I've applied, you know, to other work.
It sounds to me from what I'm hearing already that you're going through a transformation.
Yeah.
So, you know, like we've been talking about the holding space, instead of just, you know, throwing out a solution quickly, maybe take a little bit to really sit with yourself and really allow, you know, yourself to receive what you really should be doing at this time. Because sometimes we have these things happen and it's not so we can put a Band-Aid on and keep going. It's so that we can, you know, kind of completely let everything fall, like I said before about the plates, and kind of rise again and rebuild brand new. Because sometimes when we keep building on that old house, you know, you just get more of the same. But when you let it all fall and sort of surrender and then rebuild, You know, you can build more where you're going and what you're doing.
Yeah,
I want to
yeah.
invite you to both check my website and my blog, and also if you want to email me, I've got a couple of different services and things that I could maybe help you with. But the website, like you said, was itsasyoulikeit.com. It's like the Shakespeare play, but with an I-T-S before it, with no punctuation. The blog is Amanda Dobra Hope, so it's Amanda, dobrahope.wordpress.com. And then you can email me at amanda@itsasyoulikeit.com.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to have to hang up because I'm on a minute phone.
Got it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, Patricia. And I don't know if you're interested, but tomorrow night I have David White on, who reads tarot cards. So that might be something that's of interest to you. But thank you for your support and for listening tonight. And there she goes. So anyhow, I love the name of your website and email address. How did you come up with that?
That is a great question, because it goes along with everything we've been talking about. I downloaded that years and years ago. My business name has always been Golden Dolphin for years, and I've been doing what I do for almost a decade now. And when it was time to start my website, you know, I of course check in with my spiritual team, and they said, this is going to be your website name. And I said, what? That's kind of left field. What is that? So, and you know, I don't know that it has anything to do with the Shakespeare play. It's just an easy way to tell people, you know, how to find it. Because the second half of it is the Shakespeare play. And I've looked into the Shakespeare play to see if it have something to do with it. But what I ended up discovering through the years is that my little tagline has been creating your life. It's as you like it. So, you know, what I do is I help people live their best life, be their authentic self, be who they truly are, create that life that is truly meant for them to be living. And so that they're not doing something that they're not supposed to be doing. They're using their talents and their attributes and their beauty to live their life out loud and really make their contributions to the world. So that was a name given to me. And then of course the email goes with the website. So.
Okay. Well, authenticity is a wonderful word and concept, and I guess you could say it's a form of action. What suggestions would you make to people to become more authentic?
Like I said before, that personal practice, anything, meditation, you know, just a stillness practice, a breathing practice, journaling, you know, whatever works for someone, you know, prayer or conversation. Automatic writing, which is, you know, sort of using your hand to write questions and answer what you're getting from your spirit team. But those are all ways that you can get to know yourself better, so that you can figure out, you know, what it is you're supposed to be doing and who it is that you actually are. Because again, we, you know, as children in our culture, we just sort of get the recipe for this is what you need to do. You know, it's the 2.5 kids, the picket fence, and the college, and the job, and, you know, and that's not what we're all supposed to be doing. So, you know, and we need some kind of personal practice where we're getting to know ourselves really well, because you can't be authentic if you don't know who you are, and, you know.
Well, it sounds like it all has to go back to that concept of going within.
It does. Which is what your show's about, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
And I'm looking at the page here, and I see one of your hashtags is Inner Journey, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Well, that came right from your bio. And that I think is the epitome of what it's all about. The outside stuff is just window dressing, and yet
well, the outside stuff happens as a result of the inside stuff. If we don't do the inside stuff first, we're just willy-nilly and doing the outside stuff, you know, throwing things
right.
and hoping they stick. But we don't know, you know, we're not doing necessarily what is authentic or what we should be doing. We're just kind of scattered doing whatever or doing what somebody
yeah,
else
and a
told
lot of...
us to do. You know, we're not being, you know, directed from within. We're just, we're being directed from without. We're just, you know, listening to everybody else's voices and not ours. I have another book actually that I self-published before Holding Space called Life Salad. And that one's just a small spiritual pocketbook. You can pick that one up actually on Kindle for 99 cents or the paperback, I think it's $5.95 on Amazon. But that one is just sort of a beginner's guide to how do we, you know, get rid of all the stuff that we picked up throughout our lives that's not us, that's not authentic to us, all the ideas and the beliefs and the, you know, shoulds. And how do we peel back all those onion skins to find out who we really are and start living a life directed, as you said, from within.
Right, right. Well, what I wanted to comment on and have you comment on, I totally agree with you that it's the inner journey that transforms our lives and brings about the outer circumstances in our lives. But a lot of people who are not in touch with that tend to focus on the outside stuff, the window dressing, and become attached to it in terms of determining their own self-worth. And that can lead to a lot of disappointment.
Yeah, it for sure can, because it's all... what do I want the word to be? You know, it can come and go. And so, you know, if you're not being directed from within and you're, everything is tied up in one particular thing, then if, you know, that were to move around, say you lose a job or something, then you know, people are sort of lost. They, you know, well, this was my thing. I don't have another thing. What do I do now?
Whereas,
you're being directed from within. You know, if you're being directed from within, that there was a purpose for that ending, and it's because it needs to make room for something else that's trying to get out of you. So, you know, like the caller,
yeah,
it sounds to me like, you know, everything needed to fall so that she can,
yes.
she can start new.
Yeah, I wish she'd listened to this part because I was thinking about her when I brought that up. Well, what else would you like to say about either of your books?
You know, I don't know. I think I touched on both of them for their main points. The books are really for anybody looking to get more in touch with themselves and find some tools to, you know, how to do that. Because going within can sometimes be a very abstract thought and, you know, we don't always get taught how to do that. So going within is kind of that feminine being energy, but we need some idea of what the masculine doing energy is as to how to get there. So both of my books do offer suggestions and tools for how to do that. So they're really, you know, for anybody. Lifestyle is definitely written in... language that is more suitable for anyone. Holding Space, there's a little sort of dictionary in the beginning of in the preface of terms that I use that everyone might not be familiar with, and it's still written in a way that's pretty understandable for most people, but it's going to be a little bit more genre specific, I guess, than Life Salad. That's really more of a 101.
Is Life Salad like a meditation book?
No, Life Salad is just, like I said, I like to call it a spiritual pocketbook. It's more of a guide to pulling back that onion skin to find out who you really are at your core, you know, without
okay.
all the things that you were told you were supposed to be.
Okay.
Because that's the problem. You know, like you said, if people are attached to the outside things, it's because that's what we're taught. You know, we're taught
yeah.
to look after ourselves to all the outside things.
That's right. It's all about what we're taught, and there's so much unlearning to be done.
Yes, absolutely. So much unlearning.
Yeah.
It's just sad. We're finally getting to the
yeah.
point where some of the school some of the schools are starting to teach meditation and things like that, and, you know, see it as valuable. And I was talking to an artist and creative friend the other day, and she was saying that, you know, she used to be in all these different things in her work, and she used to get in trouble for it all the time. And she's like, now they're paying me for it. Now they're asking me to do it. So, you know, things are starting to change. But there's definitely a lot of unlearning for those that didn't grow up with that being, you know, the norm. It was a lot of, this is your prescribed life. This is exactly how you do it. And, you know, myself included, you get to a certain age and, you know, earlier for some, later for others, where you're like, wait a minute, is this all there is? This doesn't seem congruent. It doesn't seem right. There's something not particularly entirely true about this. So.
Well, there's so many shoulds that we need to let go of, aren't there?
Yeah. I mean, anything that's coming from the outside that doesn't line up with what's coming out of our insides is probably something we need to examine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy. Lot of the decisions and the things I've, you know, done throughout the years have been anything but easy. But a lot of times, you know, they're based on higher love, higher truth, what's best for everybody, what's, you know, best for myself, what's going to, you know, sometimes it's very uncomfortable. And, you know, you definitely go through some dark times. You know, you just got to keep following that inner voice and knowing that it's going somewhere. And I guess that's where that faith helps, I guess. You know, faith, again, you know, sometimes people can see that as only a religious word. And maybe that's where they think, like, I thought about God before. Well, it only means this, but it doesn't. And if you want to use a different word, you know, just something to stay connected to what's bigger than you, and know that things are happening for some purpose, and that you have a place in it all, and that you weren't, you know, born by accident. And
well, this may be getting back to a little bit about that stuff of interfering with somebody else's journey, so I'm not sure how to phrase it. But for people that have been turned off by religion, how are some ways that we can turn them on to spirit without being manipulative?
Fortunately, there are quite a few, you know, sects and facets, I guess, I don't know how you can say it, of religion, different, you know, spin-offs of religion that are starting to be more open, and spirituality as more of a, you have a direct line to God. You don't have to, you know, go through this person or this teaching. And if you don't, you know, you don't have a chance. You know, it's starting to change, because I think people are demanding it too, just by people waking up and saying, you know what, this isn't congruent with what's going on in my soul. So, you know, we need to change it. So I think it's starting to happen. There are support groups for people
too,
who have been in very strict religions that want to have a spiritual life, but, you know, kind of dismantle what they turned away from and be able to see it as more of a universal spirituality. But again, I don't want to say that, you know, people's religious journey is wrong. It absolutely isn't. My absolute belief is whatever path is helpful and works for somebody and doesn't hurt them or somebody else is exactly what they should follow. So, you know, I'm not here to say religion's not a good thing. Don't follow it. Because I think it works really well for a lot of people. It's just when,
I think it
you
does
know,
too. I think it can also be quite dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like anything. anything can be better dysfunctional. Using the internet can be really positive or really dysfunctional.
Well, anything in life, right? I guess it's if something nurtures the spirit and speaks of love, that's the path
there
I want to follow. That's
yep.
the path, yeah. Well, let's talk about some of these holistic modalities that you are involved in. And you mentioned that there was a new one, and I forgot what that was.
The new one is, there's actually been a movie that's being made about this that we, my part of it was filmed this past weekend and a couple weeks before that. But they just finished sort of the rest of it. But there's a master hypnotist who came up with a method of conversational hypnosis, which is a little bit different than traditional hypnosis. So what I found is, as a life coach for so many years, and someone who understands, you know, energy and things and how that works, I just took to it really easily. But it's a method for pain elimination, and it's both physical and emotional chronic pain or repeating things that keep coming up in someone's life. And you're basically, you know, talking to their unconscious, their higher self, and, you know, finding, you know, holding them safe and finding the originating incident of something while you're talking to their unconscious. They're, like I said, completely safe the whole time. They're held above it. They're kind of looking down on it and talking through what they need to learn from that experience, and then, you know, draining it, releasing it from the body. And it's been absolutely amazing so far. Everybody I've worked on has had amazing results. The movie is going to help heal people just by them watching it. The hypnotist is going to be, you know, taking people through it, you know, on screen and having the different trainings and things like that. So it can heal people simply by watching the movie. So she's really on a mission to get the world healed of chronic pain. And she says, you know, no more management, no more chronic pain management, you know, chronic pain elimination. Go ahead.
It sounds like it would be helpful for people suffering from addictions or that are stuck in a place where they perceive themselves as a victim, too.
You know, if they think and they feel like they are in chronic pain, there's a difference also between the old pain and the new pain. You know, the new pain being, you know, as she explains, if you cut your finger and you need a Band-Aid, you have to, you know, respond to that right away, you know, in real time. But chronic pain being something that you've carried around for a long time that keeps showing itself. So, you know, as long as someone is aware that that's what it is and is ready, go, because that, you know, that also is with us to teach us things and show us things. And, you know, but when it's time that it doesn't serve us anymore and it's time to let it go, that's, you know, that's when people can get super phenomenal results from it. If they've just been carrying around for a long time, it just keeps bumping up into their lives. They're not getting forward and, you know, they're just ready to let it go. It's not serving them anymore.
How can we know that we're absolutely ready to let something go? I mean, it's easy to say, I hate this.
Yeah, you don't have to know. The cool thing about the method is that a person's subconscious, a person's, you know, higher self and higher team, however they want to think about it, will keep them safe. So if there's any part of it that they're not ready to let go or that is still serving them in some way, what happens is they can release some of it, but maybe not all of it. And maybe do the next in another session, or maybe they don't do the next until, you know, years later. But you're always talking to their unconscious and their higher self, and I'm not pushing them to release anything they're not ready to release. So if they come to me in the first place, they're ready to release some of it, obviously. But whether they get complete release or partial release is up to, you know, in them, what part of them might still want to or need to hold on to a bit of it.
So it kind of comes back to that analogy of peeling the layers of the onion.
Yeah.
For sure.
And if they still have to have experiences with it and, you know, things like that, sometimes there's a reason we need it still for a little bit, something we need to see, something we need to learn, experience.
Well, that's been part of my story.
Yeah. Do you need a session? Do you want a session?
I can do it by
Skype.
Oh, well, that would be great.
Well, we should talk after this. Get you hooked up.
Yeah. I You know, I am a person that's very compulsive, impulsive, and addictive by nature. Well, not by nature, but that's just how my life has played out. And so as much as I have come to see some things as being dysfunctional, they have, you know, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that can relate to this, they've been soothing to me in my past, and in some ways still can be, even though they mm-hmm. create havoc in my life. And
right.
so, you know, the whole process of coming to let go and to surrender has been so elusive to me. And I just wish there was some way that somebody could succinctly define what letting go is all about, because it is elusive.
Letting go is something you do when you're ready to do it. That's the best way I can describe it. There is no good way to tell you how to do it. You do it when you're ready to do it.
Not what I was looking for, but I hear you.
Yeah, when your body and spirit says that's enough, you're ready to let
yeah.
go. Which is why I said some people who are carrying that chronic pain, you know, sometimes they don't dial it all the way down, and sometimes that's because they still need to have a few more experiences where they get to that point where they say that's enough. And they could put their feet on the ground and say, I'm ready to let this go. I don't want this to play out in my life anymore. I've learned what I need to learn from it. I've seen what I need to see from it. You know, I'm not going to allow it anymore. I don't choose this. You know, I'm done. Enough. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, until we're at that point, sometimes we do need to still experience it for a bit. So, but the cool thing is that, you know, this method can help you release a good deal of it before you get to that point. And sometimes if we're working directly with your unconscious, you can release all of it, and, you know, because your unconscious is ready to release it, even if maybe your conscious isn't quite so sure about it, and then it won't bother you anymore.
That sounds wonderful. It sounds wonderful. You know, I've been involved in 12-step programs, and one of my beefs with them is it seems to me that it's very limiting to say something like, I'm an alcoholic, over and over again, when you're letting go of that part of your past. I've always had a problem with that. And I believe that we, and I've heard it said to be true, that the brain chemistry can actually change. So why would somebody want to affirm that they're still an addict, you know?
You know, you would really like this method then, because another cool thing about it is that, you know, when you're ready to get rid of the old stuff, we're getting rid of the old stuff, and then we're future pacing you with all the positive new stuff, everything you're going to do when you're rid of these patterns and this emotional pain, all of the ways you're going to impact the world, all the ways you're going to be vibrant and healthy and, you know, really in your truth and doing all these things. And we're doing that all while you're still, you know, in the session. So you're getting all of that to sort of repattern the yucky we took out. So.
It sounds very affirmative.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's why I think it works so well, because it is very affirmative. Mm-hmm. My life coaching is like that too, and always has been. You know, my life coaching sessions are all about showing someone their brilliance, showing someone, you know, everything they've done that's amazing, showing someone, because, you know, they'll come in and say, well, you know, oh, I'm this, or I do this, or I don't, you know, that, and we'll get underneath it a bunch of times, and I'll be like, well, how has that served you? Look, you were able to do this, and you were able to do that, and hey, you could actually use that talent for this thing, and, you know, going through some of the other things, like, okay, well, that was something you did based on a trauma you had, or, you know, some kind of thing in your head where you reacted rather than responded, you know, in a healthy manner. And we need to clear up and heal that, you know, that underlying thing. So, you know, there's a lot of times where I'll tell people too, you know what, it's not your fault. This came from this thing. You're reacting the best way you can, but now that you know better, we're going to do better. And, you know,
I think that's so important to affirm that we all do the best we can with what we've been given. And that, you know, we're on our own journeys, and it's so important not to judge.
well, we have no idea what's going on with somebody else. And really, if we're doing our own journey really well, we don't have any time or energy to be worrying about what somebody else is doing.
Right, right, right. You talked about reacting. How can we detach from that method of dealing with the world?
That's healing the core wounds. And, you know, whether that be through life coaching, talk therapy like that, or, you know, through methods of the healing or both, you know, a lot of times it's both. When you heal those original wounds, it's going to take the edge off of needing to, you know, react and respond that way. The other, react. The other thing, of course, is still that inner practice. The more we're in touch with ourselves, the more we ask ourselves, you know, something triggers us. I talk about triggers in holding space too. Something triggers us. We stop instead of reacting, you know, from that wound when we're triggered. What we need to do instead is when we're triggered, stop and go, hang on, I'm going to, you know, exit this conversation or exit this room for a minute, or later on say, I'm going to work with this. And you ask yourself questions. Why am I angry about this? Why am I upset about this? Why did this trigger me? And then you keep asking yourself questions underneath that. Well, you know, why am I angry about this? Well, because, you know, this person took something away from you that was rightly yours. And, well, why am I angry about that? Well, because that happened to you when you were in third grade and somebody, you know, stole this from you or whatever. Well, why am I still angry about that? Well, because you feel like you're giving your power away. You know, you just keep, why am I this and why am I that? You keep going underneath the layers. And the more you work with yourself in that way, the less you're going to react like that to situations, because you're going to understand your triggers. You're going to have worked with them and you won't need to react. You know, reacting is just, I can't think of the word, Mercury retro. Not being conscious, you know, it's just,
well, yeah,
it's just
I was just thinking to myself, it was kind of like an epiphany that when I'm reacting to something, I'm not being present to the moment. It's an old wound that has been exacerbated by something that's reminded me of an old wound.
But the thing that reminded you of the old wound is also a signpost to tell you, hey, this needs to be worked with. And so if people just vent to someone else and go, oh my God, this happened, blah, 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 and they don't stop and go, why did this happen? Why was this brought to my attention? Why did this come up in my life? What am I trying to heal with this? If we don't do the work, that's part of that personal work. If we don't do it, we just get mad about it or complain about it or forget about it or stuff it down. That's another time we're missing an opportunity to learn something about ourselves.
Mm.
Because those reactions and those triggers that are coming up are pointing to the original wound and saying, hey, this needs to be healed. This is our way of getting you to look at it and just work on it so you can start moving that around.
Yeah. Well, listen,
so if we ignore it, we lose that.
Right, right. Well, I was just going to tell you, our hour is almost up. Is there any closing statement that you'd like to make or any final point you'd like to make?
Not specifically, just, you know, I wish to tell everybody, you don't have to suffer. You know, you don't have to suffer. There's enough resources out there, free, paid, pay what you can, you know, all different things. You don't have to suffer. You know, start going within, start using the resources, doing the work and being who you truly are and shining from within.
That's beautiful. I believe all God wants for any of joy, love, and peace, and all good things.
And all of us giving our gifts and being, you know, happy and centered and, you know, going through life in a healthy, positive way where we collaborate and create and enjoy all the cool things on the earth.
Sounds good to me. Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you.
My pleasure. So once again, we come to a close. Now let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate force of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, Amanda.
Good night, thanks.
Okay, thank you. God bless everybody.